What a beautiful Sabbath. Wow. God has blessed us so richly already. And it just really warms my heart when I see young people giving their lives to the Lord and wanting to be part of the family of God. You know, there's so many other things that they can do that be distracted by. And Heidi's made that decision, and it's a joyous day. It's a wonderful day. It's a birthday. Yeah, Ramsey, what happened to the hole that you dug? Okay, right. Reminds me of a story about a Marine that was being disciplined, and he was told to dig a hole for the outhouse, and so he dug the hole, and the sergeant came by and said, "Hey, quit throwing that dirt up here." And he said, "Well, sir, what am I supposed to do with it?" He says, "Dig another hole and put it in there." Anyways, I had to say that. Just remind me when you told that story. So. That's good. You filled it back in. That's great. You know, God is so good, isn't He? Has He been good to you this week? Are you blessed? Well, I tell you, you know, even when the things are crazy in the world around us and things are happening, it's as Christians, we know that we have a God who's in control of everything. Even when things look like they're out of control, believe me, they're in control. God's on time. He has a destination for all of us. And He knows what's happening, and He cares. He really cares. So let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many what? Mansions? I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? And I don't think it has anything to do with Nostradamus. I don't think it has anything to do with all these other weird things that we hear. It has to do, it's all about, and it has to do with God, and God is coming. He said He would, and He'll come in His time. Praise the Lord. You know, we can't get away from that theme, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is just absolutely not going to let it go. He keeps coming back and coming back. In fact, if you notice in the passage of Scripture this morning that was read, just before chapter 19, verse 16, Jesus reminds His disciples again. He says, "Let the children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to," what? "Such as these." Jesus, there's no question in my mind that Jesus absolutely loved and adored children. And as far as I'm concerned, the church is a place for children, not behind a glass screen, but in here, worshiping God so they can hear and see and experience what's happening right here in God's presence. So I'm just glad that this church loves children too. You do, don't you? That's great. And it's good to hear their voices during the service. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for being willing to sit in here and allow us to enjoy your children. But Jesus is reminding, once again, that the kingdom of heaven is a place for children. And when He was done, in the distance, we could hear the boom, 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 boom. And here comes a great big black Hummer, a stretched Hummer, a big, long, black Hummer. And you can hear the beat of the music, and it pulls up and it drives right up near Jesus, and out steps this guy. He's well dressed, and all of his bodyguards jump out, and he's got bling all over him, and he walks up to Jesus, and he looks at Jesus, and he says, "What must I do to enter the kingdom?" Interesting. Now, this guy was obviously wealthy. It was pretty evident to everybody. He was dressed well. And, you know, people that have a lot of money often have their gang or whatever that hangs around them, their homies, okay? And they're all there to kind of enjoy the wealth, and they're there to enjoy the bling, and they're there to enjoy all the great things, you know, that this guy has, all the money. And all the bodyguards are there to protect him so that he doesn't get robbed or anything. And here he is in the presence of Jesus. Now, this story that Jesus is told here in the Gospels is an interesting story because it's a story about a good man. All right? I don't want you to come off with the idea that this guy was just a real wretch. You know, he was a real bummer. He was a really bad guy. No, he was a good man. He was morally pure. He was religiously pure. His business practices were above board. He honored his father and his mother. In fact, I imagine that he had them probably, he built a home next to his, and he had people taking care of them all the time. He was loving. He was kind. He was generous. He was a good neighbor.
And he didn't allow the things that happened in the world around him to destroy him spiritually, but he allowed the things that happened around the world or in the world around him to help him to rise above the condition of the world. And as it even says, he obeyed the commandments. And yet, down deep inside of this young, rich young ruler's heart, there was a longing for something more. Have you noticed that often people that have a lot of money and have everything that they need often are looking for something more? They're always searching, because down deep inside, there is a hole in the soul of this young man. He still needs something. He still feels that there's something lacking in his life. And he senses that Jesus may actually have the answer for that longing down deep in his soul. And so he comes to Jesus to see if Jesus can help him find what he doesn't have, give him what he doesn't have. And so they have this little dialogue, and Jesus says, well, you need to, let's read it. Chapter 19. And now a man came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus responds, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter, obey the commandments. Oh, okay. No problem. No problem. What does the man say? Which ones? Isn't that typical? Isn't that typical as human beings? You know, we have a checklist, and we watch over that checklist, and we make sure that every day we do everything just exactly right. And I can imagine this young man not only had checklists on what he needed to do each day, but he probably labeled everything in his closets. He probably, if you opened his cupboards in the kitchen, they probably had Tupperwares with little labels of everything all stacked up nicely and neatly. He was very organized. He was a very interesting young man, a very wealthy young man. There was a reason why he was wealthy. And so when Jesus said, keep the commandments, he said, well, okay, which ones? He wanted to be more specific. Be specific, Jesus. Tell me exactly what I need to do to enter the kingdom. And, what does Jesus say? Well, Jesus replied, you don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and money, your mother, and love your, and money, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what is his response? What is this rich young ruler's response? All of these I have kept. In fact, here is my checklist. Look at it. I've kept them all. All of them. Huh. So, since I've kept this checklist from since I was a young boy, since I went all the way through from preschool through college in the schools of the prophets, since I got my degree at the most prestigious seminary, since I've done all these things and I've done it all right and I make sure each day that I do it right, what does he say? What do I still lack? That's a loaded question. What do I still lack? Oh, let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, I've done all these things. I've done all the right things in my life. And how come, you know, how come this is happening? Or why is this happening? Or, you know, what am I doing wrong, Lord? We pray to God and we say these funny things to God. And we ask Him these funny questions. But let me tell you something. If you ask God what you are lacking, be prepared for an answer, and it may not be the answer you want. In the case of this rich young ruler, the answer was, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Now, many of us as Christians, when it comes to the question of, you know, what do I need to do more, Lord? We don't even get to the question, let's put it that way, because most of us are still compiling checklists. And often, you know, when we're done with our checklist, then we see if somebody else has a better checklist, and then we take on their checklist, and we proceed to try to keep that checklist perfectly. But this guy was efficient. He was to the point. He wanted to know exactly what he needed to do. And Jesus was willing to give him the answer. If you want to be perfect, and I like how Jesus phrases that in verse 20, if you look at verse 20. If you want to be perfect, 21, I'm sorry. If you want to be perfect, did you get that? If you want to be perfect, and I'll, you know, when I read that, I thought, oh, okay, wow, if I want to be perfect. I'm sure this young man's ears kind of perked up. I thought I was already perfect, but okay. If there's one more thing I need to do, I'll add that to my list. So if you want to be perfect, here it is. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, come follow me. It's sad because the response to Jesus' revelation, to Jesus' answer. The young man's response, it says, when he heard this, he was sad because he had great wealth. When he heard this, he was sad because he had great wealth. The motor on the Humvee was still running, the music was still playing. All his bodyguards were standing around. The bling was still hanging around his neck and on his fingers. And he turned and went away. Back to his possessions. Back to the life that he was comfortable with. Back to the life that he was accustomed to. You see, this young man was at a spiritual crossroads in his life. He was a good man searching for more truth. But when truth was revealed, he turned away and went back to the life that he was comfortable with. He became a member of the Almost Club. The Almost Club. It's a big club, by the way. These are people who have truth in their very grasp. It is right there before them. It is staring them in the eye, and they let go of it and they walk away from it. The people that listened to Noah preach day after day, year after year, they had salvation in their very grasp, and yet they refused to walk through the door into the ark. They are members of the Almost Club, almost saved. Lot's wife was one who knew the truth. She knew that she would have eternal life. She would have salvation if she only obeyed the guidance of the angel. But she was not willing to do that. She wanted to look back at her possessions, and she became a member of the lost, or a member of the Almost Club. The children of Israel, those who left Israel, the adults who left Israel and stood on the very shores of the Jordan River, looked across Jordan into the promised land, and they became members of the Almost Club. They were not ready to follow and to step into that water and to follow the Lord. And they turned back and they spent 40 years in the desert, and they died in the desert because they were members of the Almost Club. Almost saw the promised land, almost lived in the promised land, almost received the blessings that God had in store for them. Saul, a man who knew God, a man who was selected to be the king of Israel, a man who had heard God's voice speaking to him, eventually, because of the hardness of his heart, the sin in his life, became a member of the Almost Club. The Pharisees who listened to Jesus preaching and listened to his words were members of the Almost Club. And because of the hardness of their hearts, they eventually crucified Jesus because of the things that he said. Pilate, who talked to Jesus face to face and listened to Jesus' testimony and listened to Jesus' words, was a member of the Almost Club. He almost let Jesus go. Remember what he said. I find no fault in this man. He is truly a special person. And yet, because of his lack of faith, because he was part of the Almost Club, he said, do what you will with him, and turn Jesus over to the crowds to be crucified. King Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou almost persuadest me." Almost club. You see, the rich young ruler was a godly religious, a very devoted man, but his thinking was flawed because he believed that righteous good works is all you need. His thinking was flawed because he believed that holy living would bring him salvation. His thinking was flawed because he believed that by being perfect in character, he would be saved and he would have eternal life. But isn't it interesting that he felt it necessary, in spite of all his flawed thinking, he felt it necessary to come to Jesus. He sensed there was something missing. And that is why he came to Jesus, because instinctively, every person that is caught up in the desperate game of perfectionism knows down deep inside that something is wrong. And they know that eventually they will hit the wall. And this young man had hit the wall. He was looking for something more. He was looking, his soul was crying out for something more, and he knew it was there, and that's why he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus to silence that nagging feeling. He needed what Jesus had to offer: eternal life, salvation through his death on the cross. As I've said before, this guy, he had it all. He had everything. He was a rich young ruler. There are so many of those people in our society today, it's unbelievable. They're rich, they're young, and they are in charge of their lives. They are, in a sense, rulers of their own lives. You look around us, you know, you read about them in the papers, you see them in the tabloids, people who have it all, and yet they're still looking for something more. They end up sometimes dead, because they're looking for what they need in all the wrong places. These are the people who have a very serious disease. I call them possession freakoidism. Possess. They need to possess. You see, this man was in control. He possessed many things. He owned many things. He manipulated to have the things that he needed. He managed those things. He had a tremendous net worth. He invested, he planned, he protected, he added, he multiplied. All this was for the building up of his kingdom. He was into ownership and not stewardship. Ownership and not stewardship. Unless we forget the lesson here for our church here at Point Loma, we do not own this piece of real estate. We do not own this church. I don't care how much money we've poured, or how much money you've poured in, or how much money the congregation has poured into this church, or how much the denomination has poured in this church. This piece of property belongs to God. He is the one that owns this piece of property. We are the stewards of this piece of property. And so when we go before the Lord and we ask Him to guide us and to lead us and to show us how He wants to use this property, we need to make sure that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure that we're connecting so that God can tell us what He plans to do with this piece of real estate here in Point Loma. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will teach you stewardship. I will teach you how to use the things that I give you." All of us know, as hard as we may try at times, all of us know that we cannot worship our possessions. We cannot worship our possessions and follow Jesus at the same time. Jesus said later on that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot worship two things at the same time. And Jesus, quite frankly, Jesus was not impressed with this young man's wealth. He was not impressed with all of his bling. He was not impressed with his degrees. He was not impressed with his social status. He was not impressed with any of it, because Jesus knew that this man had to learn a very basic principle, and that is salvation came through a relationship with Him. And that's why Jesus invited him to follow him. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought a thought came into my mind. If this young man had done what Jesus had asked him to do, there would be 13 disciples instead of 12. Isn't that something? The almost club. He almost became one of those disciples. He almost entered the kingdom of heaven. But because he wanted to possess, because he wanted to own, because he wanted to control, he lost the kingdom of heaven. He lost eternal life. He failed to see that the attitude of giving is grace in action. Let me say that again. This man failed to see that the attitude of giving is grace in action. And the only way to experience grace is in following Jesus Christ, who is the gift of grace. In other words, the only way that you're ever really going to experience or understand God's grace is to accept Jesus Christ, who is the gift. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, once you decide to follow Him, to give everything else up and to follow Him, you will never understand what it really means to give. Grace is sacrificial giving. Jesus gave himself for you and for me. He gave up the glory in heaven to come to this earth as a little babe and to be rejected by those around him and to die on a cross. That is sacrificial giving. He gave his blood so that you and I might have hope of eternal life. He died on the cross and he rose again so that we might have hope of eternal life. His life so that we could have eternal life. That is sacrificial giving. And as the scripture was read this morning, it ends with Jesus saying, well, let's read from verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, listen to this, with man this is impossible. In other words, you can't be saved on your own works. You can't be saved by being a member of a church or denomination or some little club or some little commune. You cannot be saved. With man it is impossible, but with God what? All things are possible. In other words, we need to experience and internalize God's grace before we can learn to give gracefully and graciously. We need to understand and internalize God's grace. We need to understand and comprehend what it was that Jesus did for you and for me. He gave it all. He gave it all up so that we could have eternal life. And this is the thing that he wanted this rich young ruler to understand. He wanted him to understand how much he had given so that that young man could have eternal life. And the young man went away. To me, those are sad words. Anytime we are given the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, anytime we're given the opportunity to change the way and the direction of our lives, anytime we are given the opportunity to be gracious and to be free of all the things that burden us down, all the things that get in the way of our relationship with God, all the materialism, all the possessions, when we turn when we turn Jesus down to go back to those things, that is truly a sad moment. It's truly a sad moment. And I pray that each of us will be willing to follow Jesus as the disciples did. By the way, it would be important to point out that when they decided to follow Jesus, when the disciples decided to follow Jesus, Jesus did not promise them that their lives would be easy. He did not promise them material wealth. He did not promise them that everything would go all wonderful and honky-dory. In fact, he said just the opposite. But the good news is, if you follow Jesus, you have eternal life. You really don't want to be part of the Almost Club. I challenge you to listen to the Word, to follow Jesus, to become a disciple, to be willing to give up everything to follow Him. God bless us as we continue to worship.